Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello, Sunshine. I'm Alexi Lawless, and welcome to the State of the Union podcast presented by State Farm. I come to you yet again live here from Doha, Qatar, on the banks of the Bay of Doha here, and our Fox Sports amazing set. And we got another game, another day of games, and so we will go through it. Before I do that, I always give you my update on my friend David Mossy. He assures me that he will be available and joining us tomorrow. He's not here tonight. I will tell you a quick story at the end of this about David Mossy and his growing legions of fans and international fans. It's pretty amazing right now. Well, it's not pretty amazing. I totally understand it. We all love David. But he will be with us tomorrow. Okay, let's get right into it, because really some interesting games and some interesting results. Costa Rica, Japan. Costa Rica, and totally redeem yourself, all right? Narrative after the first game, they get completely annihilated, 7-0 by Spain, Costa Rica. I called it a shameful performance. I called it an embarrassment, not just to Costa Rica and Costa Rican soccer, but ultimately to CONCACAF. But you know, we talked all day about this pendulum, this World Cup pendulum that swings and changes perspective and changes the narrative. And just like that, little old Costa Rica, who we had all written off, they come back against none other than Japan, who had just beaten Germany, and they get themselves a 1-0 victory. And they do it in a very Costa Rican way. They CONCACAF'd, all right? They got the goal they needed late in the game. They held on for dear life, and for most of the game, they were holding on. They did play much better. They solidified the back, including some changes, including Kendall Waston, who many of you know from his time in Major League Soccer with Vancouver and Cincinnati. I think he helped out a whole lot. Keylor Navas, by the way, gets a shutout, and Japan just ran out of ideas, and they couldn't figure it out. Ultimately, Fuller gets the goal. It was a strange goal if you've watched it. The goalkeeper for Japan, it's almost like there was a glitch in the Matrix. And the shot came, and he had already almost jumped as a preemptive type of leap and was almost coming down by the time it hit the tips of his fingers and cascaded into the goal. They all count the same, and Costa Rica will take it, and it means that Costa Rica is still alive. And yet again, we have a group here where everybody is going to be alive come the third game, and that's what you want from groups. Okay, so let's move on to Morocco and Belgium. Another, I don't know if it's a surprise, because Morocco is a good team. However, it is a surprise relative to Belgium. Remember, Belgium got that first win against Canada, where they looked, let's be honest, they looked awful, and Canada completely outplayed them. Canada ultimately lost. Belgium said, thank you very much. Batshuayi, right down the gut there, gets the goal. Real smash-and-grab type of performance. So you were thinking something along the lights of, all right, now we're going to see the real Belgium. A lot of people still believe in this Belgium team, believe in this golden generation. Not so much. Belgium comes out and lays an incredible egg. Sabiri scores for Morocco, and then Aboula scores at the 90-plus-2. And Belgium did have shots, did have opportunities, but Morocco is the better team. I don't even think there's a question. So Belgium's in trouble, and not just in terms of the points and where they are. They could still go through, but I think in terms of the perception, again, the pendulum, it might swing here and here, but sometimes it'll stay over here. And so while I think a lot of us were concerned with Belgium after that first game, even though they won, it didn't swing the other way as it did with a Costa Rica. It just kind of stayed there and confirmed what a lot of people suspect, and that is this is an aging Belgian team. And this is maybe more importantly, they looked like a team without any sense of direction, completely rudderless under Roberto Martinez as to where to go, and devoid of creativity, even with Kevin De Bruyne on the field. So that's a problem, obviously, going forward. We'll see if it continues to manifest or if they find a way to get out of it. We did see Lukaku right at the end of the game, so that's a good sign because we were told he wasn't going to play until the end of group stage, but they were like, you know, break glass and insert Lukaku at that moment because they needed something to happen. But congratulations to Morocco. That is a huge, huge win for Morocco. We move on to Croatia and Canada. Oh, boy. Our friends from the Great White North. Remember when they were just beating everybody and finished on top of the CONCACAF octagonal and everyone was talking about this new generation of Canada? Well, two games into the World Cup and they're already out of the World Cup. They will play the third game, obviously, but they have lost both of their first two games. They played certainly well in that first game, as we mentioned. They did not play as well in this game, although it started off wonderfully. Alphonso Davies, a minute and 10 seconds in, he gets the goal. And you think, this is it. This is the Canada, and this is the game. Not so fast. Croatia says, we are Croatia for a reason. We went to the finals of the World Cup 4 years ago for a reason. And they, my friends, they put on a show. And listen, you poke the bear, you could get hurt. And Canada opened up. They could not even come close to keeping up with the spaces, with the speed, with the countering of Croatia. It was a masterclass. And did Croatia need that moment a minute and a half in? Probably not, but it certainly lit a fire, and they went on from there, and they never looked back. And Canada was never back in the game. And I'll say this about John Herdman, the head coach of Canada. He's done a wonderful job, and he deserves a tremendous amount of credit for bringing Canada back into the World Cup. And they acquitted themselves well at times. However, his comments before about Croatia, I know it was in the heat of the moment. I know it was an emotional thing where he ultimately says, it's on to Croatia and we're going to F them, all right? If he had just said, you know, it's on to Croatia and we're going to give them everything and we're going to give them hell and all that kind of stuff, it would have been benign. Nobody would have said anything. But you throw the F in there and immediately it's going to get picked up, as it did. And you don't want to give anybody fodder. Why poke the bear in that instance? Did it have anything to do with what Croatia ultimately did? Maybe, maybe not. But after the game, when players are talking about it on Croatia, obviously it registered. And it was a needless thing to do. You're already up against it playing against Croatia. You've already lost your first game. And John Herdman's not going to play a single minute. He's not going to kick a ball. Those 11 players have to go onto the field and figure it out. So, Canada, goodbye. Another CONCACAF team struggling and having a problem. But still, it's great to see Canada back at the World Cup. And they will finish up strong in that third game. And Alphonso Davies, by the way, he and others are the future there. Tejan Buchanan and these types of players. Alphonso Davies missed a penalty kick in the first game. Obviously scores here, so he gets his first World Cup goal, and he will absolutely be back in 4 years to lead his team in a 2026 World Cup, which, by the way, we all know they are hosting. So that's going to be fun to see. And then the final game of the night, Spain versus Germany. This was the entree, if you will, of the night. And I think it lived up to billing because I think it showed a lot about what Spain is and showed a lot about what Germany is. I came in, and we were talking on set with my friends over there, Marisa Du and Annie Luco, and Rob Stone kept asking us, are you buying Spain? Are you buying Spain? And I'll tell you, before the game, I said, no, I'm not buying Spain. I think that we were distracted, and it was kind of distorted the perception that we had of Spain given the 7-0 drubbing of Costa Rica. And Costa Rica was absolutely abysmal, as we mentioned. Having said that, after this game, I am buying Spain more because I think it's not just possession for possession. It's much more possession with purpose. The Morata goal I thought was wonderful, and they caused problems for Germany in the first half. Now, Germany needed a performance, and they needed to kind of reassure those of us that do believe that Germany is a good team and that this is a better team than 4 years ago, that our faith is justified. I'm not sure they did it in this tournament, or in this game, but I'm a little bit more optimistic that ultimately Germany is going to get the win they need. I mean, if you told Germany, beat Costa Rica in your last game of group play and you go forward, they'll take that all day, right? And you think that Spain is going to beat Japan, although this is a tournament where all sorts of stuff can happen. But we will find out on that third game for both of these teams. Ultimately, it was an interesting game in that I think that Spain is vulnerable, incredibly vulnerable on set pieces. And I actually think Germany, going back, if they look at this, they will kick themselves for the times that they were offside and for the times that they were wide open. I have no idea what Spain is doing on a lot of their set pieces. The amount, the high line that they have and the space that they give up and the lack of any type of man-to-man marking, it's incredibly risky and dangerous. And any competent type of team would have taken advantage of it. So that's something to look for going forward. But there's still a fluidity, and they win the ball back so quickly, and they're not rattled at all, and they have some very, very young, good players that are just going to get better. So I am buying this Spain team, maybe not to win the World Cup, but this is a Spain team that is formidable going forward. All right, let's wrap it up here, and I'll tell you a little story about David Mossy. I think I've told you before that he is becoming a huge star. No, he is a star, all right? So there's people that show up here and want to say hi, and today a young man came up and said, I listened to the State of the Union on a consistent basis. I thanked him, and he said, "Where's Mossy?" And usually Mossy, we lock him in a room, and he does his work. But this guy really, really wanted to meet Mossy and take a picture with David Mossy. So I found a way to coax Mossy out of his room to take a picture with this gentleman. Mossy could not have been nicer. I think Mossy was tickled pink that anybody even knows about him. But as I've told him time and time again, and he always seems incredulous every single time I tell him, there are people out there that love him. And I understand it because I love the guy. And what's not to love? It's not just, his incredible intellect and his incredible knowledge when it comes to the sport. It's also the cool guy that he is. He's eccentric. Don't get me wrong. Mossy is a different type of cat. But I love that cat, and I love that guy. And we will see him back tomorrow. All right, we got some more games tomorrow. I have a half day tomorrow, so I won't be here. I'll be watching the games, but I won't be here actually doing the first two games. I'll be coming in for the second two games. And then this is the last day of four windows of the four games. On Tuesday, it's simultaneous play, which means there's two different windows. There's still four games, but there's two different windows. You're still going to get plenty of soccer, but from a work perspective, whether it's Mossy behind the camera or myself in front of the camera and all of us that are here, it's going to cut down on that workload because there's only two windows we get to kind of sleep in. And it has been a grind. Again, a wonderful grind. Nobody's complaining, but it'll be very nice. And you're going to see some people that are in need of rest be much more rested come those games where there's only two windows starting on Tuesday. And by the way, that Tuesday, from an American perspective, is huge with the United States playing against Iran for the opportunity to get out of the group and go into the round of 16. Thank you so much for everybody, including State Farm, for presenting the State of the Union podcast. We will do this again tomorrow night, as we do each and every night. Keep on sending those tweets on social media and all the different social media platforms we have out there, SOTU with Alexi. If you want, you can certainly continue to send us your comments and your questions on our State of the Union podcast hotline, which is 657-549-2297, 657-549-2297. We love all the interactions that we have. I hope that you are enjoying this. It continues. The World Cup continues. It's a hell of a ride, and it's going this way and that way, and it's awesome. All right. Good night from Doha, and until tomorrow, and until then, as always, size the day.